Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The question that we will be looking at tonight is, how do we treat people? Or better yet, how have you been treated? Sometimes that's the way we view things from our own perspective. The questions that run through our mind is often not, how do we treat someone else? It's often, how have I been treated? It's very rarely a conscious thought, but it's a quick and almost reactionary thing that when someone treats us in a certain way, we respond in like manner. Our thought process is something that usually goes along something like this. I've been treated poorly. I've been treated bad. And I'm going to react the same way. I'm going to treat the other person in the way they've treated me. I'm going to respond. With my boys, I've talked a lot with them about retaliation. They want to get back at the one who did something to them. I don't think that's too far off with most people. Our human nature really points us in that direction. Some think that they have gotten so many good things in life that I'm not going to give these things to somebody else. That I'm not going to treat somebody else well because they're looking inwardly at these things. Or maybe this person has so much, they don't deserve anything else. They don't deserve something that I could give. There's a lot of ways that you can look at how we treat people and why we treat them the way we do. Very rarely do we treat people well for the right reasons, for the right motives. And that's what we're looking at tonight. In chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus has been dealing with judgment. He's been dealing with judgment as how we judge others, how we view others, how we view the actions of others, and what we think about them. The golden rule, as verse 12 is called, is the culmination of that. It is the epitome of that. The golden rule teaches us how we should be treating others, how we should be acting towards others. The difficulty then is that most of the time we do the opposite. We do what we want to do. We want people to treat us well, and we get upset when they don't. We want people to give us the good benefits and get upset when they don't. We think that we have treated other people well from our own perspective, but we very rarely treat them how we think we do. We most of the time will fool ourselves and say that we've treated somebody well when in reality we've treated them poorly. The treatment that we should be giving is what Jesus is dealing with. And how do we get ourselves to treat others the way he says to do it is very difficult. As we look at this golden rule closer this evening, hopefully we'll realize that it's not just a pithy saying, because my parents said it to me, and they had nothing to do with the things of God. They would just say, well, you've treated somebody badly, you ought to treat them as you want to be treated. And this was what's said constantly. But really, we ought to see the golden rule as the lifeblood of Christianity. We ought to see this as something that epitomizes who Jesus Christ is and should epitomize those who claim to be his followers. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of chapter 7 just to give us the context of this verse that we're going to be talking about. Starting in verse 1 of Matthew 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So a few weeks ago, we were speaking about judgment. We were speaking about what Christ had been saying and how we should be judging or not judging other people. That we should not be using a critical eye in the sense of I'm putting someone else down so I can lift myself up. But that when we approach someone else, we ought to be doing it in a way that would be acting as Christ acted. To recall that he was doing what? He was reconciling people to God. That he was coming and forgiving sin. Well, if we can't forgive sin, we can't reconcile somebody ourselves, but what we can do is point someone to Christ. That if someone is not a Christian, our goal should not be to mark their sin so that they feel ostracized and set apart and set aside and not able to come to Christ, but that their sin should be revealed so that they feel the weight of it and that they then come to Christ for salvation. Or if they are a Christian and there is something going on, that it is a mode of reconciliation, that it is restoration that's taking place. Not to say, well, I'm better than that person over there, but to bring that person back to the right fellowship with Christ so that his name is not cast before dogs, so that the judgment is not handed over to people that shouldn't judge, for people that shouldn't be looking at Christians in that manner. And so one of the questions that rises from that, if in verse 2 it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged," do you want to be treated, do you want to be judged the way you judge people? Do you think that would be okay? Would you feel good and say, yes, I want everyone in my life to judge me and to look at me and to treat me the way I treat them, the way I judge them. The way when I see something happen in their lives, the thoughts that go through my mind, I want them to think those thoughts about me if something like that happens. Because that's the negative. That's the negative of what Christ is saying, that that's what we do. We judge others. We look down upon others. And Christ is saying, if you want that to happen, then you look at other people that way, people are going to look at you that way. You're going to be judged as you have judged. You're going to be measured against the measuring stick that you've used. If you're using a measuring stick that is placing you above other people are going to use a measuring stick that are going to place them above you. Is that what you want? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. You see, there's some problems with treating others in that manner. There's problems with treating people in a judgmental spirit and in a condescending spirit, which is so often what happens with people that claim to be Christians. The first thing is it's self-centered. It's very self-centered. If you are always focused upon yourself, if you're always focused upon what you're going to get or how you feel or what you're going to do or how it's going to benefit you, then what are you thinking about? You're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the other person and their needs. You're not thinking about the fact that Christ died for you if you're a Christian. That it was not something that you deserved. It's not something that you earned. It was something that was given to you. You were chosen. How should you then treat somebody else? Certainly not like you've earned something, because you haven't earned anything. But that's how much, that's that self-centered attitude that we have. Our expectations are the problem. You see, we expect that we should be treated well. We think that we deserve good things, when in fact we don't. We deserve bad things. We deserve death and hell. God has given us something different, but then all of a sudden our expectations change. Our expectations are that we should get the good things in life, that money should come our way, or a good job, or obedient children, or all kinds of things should come our way because of who we are. But in fact, that is a self-centered attitude, because we're focused on what we want and not what we ought to be doing. We become subjective. We become subjective in the sense of thinking, I've done well. I've done well in the way I've treated somebody else. And maybe you actually did do well, but as soon as you start to think you've done well, what you did is all gone. You're no longer doing well. Because it's not like a credit that you're going to build up. It's a very self-centered attitude to look at the way someone has treated you. And to focus upon how wronged you have been. Because it's just about what's in here, what's going on within yourself. Another problem with treating others as you've been treated is that you may have misinterpreted the action. You may have misinterpreted what someone did. If you base your actions off of what other people have done to you, then what happens when the person made an accident? It was a mistake. It was an accident. They didn't mean to do something. This happens with my boys all the time. One boy will be doing something and another kid comes along and one or the other accidentally falls and bumps into the one. Well, this one over here thinks he wanted to actually move him out of the way and get the toy he was playing with. And so he responds by hitting or kicking or shoving or getting mad and screaming at the other one. Well, what has he done? He's responded as he thinks he's been treated. But in fact, it was an accident from the start. The first one that did the bumping never even had the chance to apologize. Never even had the chance to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Because of the retaliation that takes place. And all of a sudden there's a fight that started when it was completely a mistake. Because of the way the response took place. And see, that may sound humorous a little bit with the boys, unless it's your boys. But when it's other situations in life, it becomes much more difficult. We can't see the heart of somebody else, can we? I can't look into anybody else's heart. I only know my own heart. So I can't see the motive behind the action that somebody does. I can't see why someone has done what they've done. It may very well be that they meant harm to me. But I don't know that. I don't know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then that takes into account God's sovereignty. If we believe that God is sovereign in all things, and someone else has treated me poorly, and I get mad at the other person, what am I saying? Well, that God's not sovereign. Because God has allowed that in my life for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but it's certainly not to get angry and retaliate against the person who did it. The scriptures are replete with stories of God using someone to discipline the Israelites. And the Israelites responding to that over and above what was necessary and what was right. And God being angry at the Israelites. Or even the opposite. That God has used the Israelites to discipline another nation who wasn't following him. And the Israelites went too far. And God causes retribution upon the Israelites because of it. Be very careful that you haven't misinterpreted what's going on. Because God is sovereign in our lives. He has complete control. If he doesn't want something to happen to us, guess what? It won't happen to us. He's got his hand upon us. Another problem with this is that you're setting a negative as your example, as your standard. If you are treating other people based off of what they've done to you, all of a sudden the standard is then a negative, isn't it? Because negatives happen. Sometimes people cut you off. They may not have seen you. But if you respond and you get angry, and it seems to happen more in the States than it does here, the road rage, where people get so upset and they follow someone and they want to have it out. They want justice for their situation. The person may have never seen you. How do you know what the intention was? But all of a sudden, a negative is now your standard for action. And then it lacks objectivity. It lacks an absolute standard. You set yourself as the standard instead of God's standard. Because God's standard is different. God's standard is not, well, I'm going to treat so-and-so based off of what they've done to me. Based off of how good of a friend they've been or how bad of a friend they've been. No, I'm going to treat so-and-so off of the fact that God tells me to treat them as I want to be treated. Treat them as I think they should treat me. As to how I want it done for me. So the golden rule, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, is the positive of the negative of those first two verses. Let me read those first two verses again. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's the negative. Don't do it this way. Don't be condescending. Don't use a standard of your own to figure out whether someone else has done good or not. How should you do it? Well, this is the positive side. Treat them as you want to be treated. You know, the Bible teaches us, and it rings true throughout society, no one loves someone more than they love themselves. We love ourselves the most. We want the food, we want the clothes, whatever it might be. We want that comfort level. We want that security level. And even when we treat our children well, it's because it makes me feel good that I've done well for my children. There's always a selfishness in the way we treat others. Well, the Bible says, treat others as you want to be treated. Not as you have been treated. Not with your measuring stick. No, treat others as you want to be treated. And we'll hopefully see what the proper mindset should be. So the question is, how have you been treated? And you say, well, wait a second, that's kind of contradictory to what you said. But see, we've been treated differently, not from somebody else, but from God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have a good example of this and how we should be viewing things, what our perspective ought to be. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen to what Paul says. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus Christ has treated people differently. He has not treated people how he's been treated. How was he treated on the earth? He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was hit. Constantly people wanted to kill him. They finally did kill him. But that is not how he acted towards me. He acted towards me completely differently. He acted towards me out of love when I was his enemy. He acted towards me doing what was best for me when I didn't deserve what was best for me. When I didn't earn what was best for me. When I was disobedient, like my boys were disobedient at times. What should I as a father be doing? What's best for them. Because that's what was done for me. You see, Jesus Christ treated me well. You see that first verse, if there be any consolation in Christ. Is there any consolation in Christ? Absolutely. Is there any comfort of love? Yes. If any fellowship of the Spirit? Absolutely. Is God merciful? He certainly is. If that's true, then what should we be? We should be like-minded. Like-minded with one another, but what should that mind be like? It should be like Christ. That we should have the mind of Christ, looking for the betterment of others. Looking for their good, not for my good. But looking for that good from a different perspective. People constantly, throughout my life, Christians have quoted the Romans 8:28. That God is working all things together for my good. And they think that means something that it doesn't mean. See, they think that means that all their circumstances are going to work out exactly the way they want them to. That it's all going to come out rosy in the end. Well, I can tell you for the Christians that are dying in places like Syria, and that are dying in other places around the world, it's not turning out rosy in the end in their circumstances, is it? No, what is their good that God is working out? It's their spiritual good. It's their spiritual good. And what is spiritually good about negative things in your life? What's the spiritual good in that? It draws you closer to God. It grows your faith. It grows your trust in Him. When He brings you through that storm, all of a sudden you realize that storm wasn't as big as you thought it was. That difficulty wasn't as difficult as you thought it was because you have a God that's on your side. You see, that's the mindset that we have because of what Christ did. Because He humbled Himself. Because He humbled Himself to become a man. And not only that, He humbled Himself as a man. Meaning that He humbled Himself when He was a man to die on the cross. That He didn't respond to people that were jeering at Him when he could have. He could have stepped back and said, "I'm the Son of God. Who do you think you are? You're screaming things at me that don't have any sense for someone that's just a human. But here I am. I am God. You can't speak to me that way. You ought not to speak to me that way. I'm going to send you to hell right now." He could have done that, and He would have been just in doing that. But that is not how He acted, is it? He humbled Himself. He lowered Himself for what? For the sake of enemies. For the sake of those that didn't deserve it. So how should you approach your circumstances? Well, Paul tells us that just a few chapters later in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 10 and 4 through 14. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." See, Paul speaking to the Philippians, they had helped him physically. They had sent money for his aid. And he's thanking them for that. And he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." You know, that verse is always taken out of that context. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What is Paul talking about? I can do all things. I can be abound. I can have a great deal of things. All things can be going my way because I'm in the strength of Christ. But I can also have nothing. I can be shipwrecked. I can be stranded. I can be beaten with stones. I can have a viper sting me on the hand. I can have all kinds of things happen to me. And I know I can do all things because Christ strengthens me to get through those things. To get through those difficulties because I've learned how to be abased. And I've learned to be content with if it's just a cup of soup. Or whether I'm having a feast with a governor. It makes no difference. I'm going to be content with it. I'm not going to complain about what's put on the table in front of me. I may not like it, but I'll be content with it because I know it's what's there for me. That's how you learn to be content in every state, regardless of how you're treated, regardless if someone has taken something that you wanted. I see this, I'm using my boys as examples tonight. I don't mean to pick on them. But it's just been in the forefront of my mind because I've been home with them during their summer break. And so it seems more and more on my mind. But you think about it. Oh, I want this toy that person's playing with. And they take it away and the other person gets upset. Well, we do that as adults. We don't act the same. We don't show our emotions the same way that the kids do. We don't start crying and throw a fit. But we think and we feel the same way in our minds. And all of a sudden we're going to treat that person a little differently. We're going to treat that person who we think has wronged us differently than we did before. We're not content. We're not being gracious. We're not saying, you know what? Have that. Have what you're doing. But see, Christ gives us strength to do those types of things. And that's the strength we need to approach things from a spiritual perspective. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Paul says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, this is how you approach things, how you approach other people, to treat them as you want to be treated. You do it because you're no longer seeing them in a fleshly way. You're no longer looking at them and saying, okay, this person over here that has treated me badly, I see his face and I recognize his countenance, but I'm no longer looking at that. I'm looking at that as Christ looks at him and saying, this person needs salvation if they're not a Christian. I need to treat them in a way that will point back to Jesus Christ. Me being angry at them, well, that doesn't point to Christ. Me trying to get mine, well, that doesn't point to Christ. Me getting upset and walking away, well, that doesn't point to Christ. What points to Christ? Treating him well. How does that point to Christ? Because Christ treated me well when I didn't deserve it. And so I'm no longer looking at that man who's treated me poorly in a human perspective. I'm looking at him in a spiritual perspective. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We look at people in a spiritual way, not in a fleshly way. We look at them differently because Christ looked at us differently. And if it's a person that is without Christ, I want to show them Christ. If it's a person that claims Christ, I want to restore them to Christ. I want to show them the error of their ways, not in a mean and malicious way to make myself feel better or to make them feel bad. I want to show them to help them in restoration to Christ, because that's the spirit that Christ has given. That's exactly what Paul says here. What's the ministry that's been given? It's the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling people to God, whether they are far from God or near to God. That's the ministry that's been given. And how can you do that? Because you're a new creation. Because you see them differently. Because you view them differently. And what does all this accomplish? Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. For this is the law and the prophets. That phrase is mentioned three times by Christ. It's mentioned in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 17. Notice what he says. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What did Christ come to do about the law and the prophets? He's not come to destroy it. He's come to fulfill it. How did he fulfill the law and the prophets? Well, he lived a righteous life, but he loved. He died for someone else. He died for sinners. He gave his life for them. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I'm sorry for turning so many places, but I think it bears well upon what we're speaking about tonight. Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, to wrap up, to sum up the law and the prophets, according to Christ, love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. How did he fulfill it? He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and he loved his neighbor as himself. How do we fulfill the law and the prophets back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12? We treat other people as we want to be treated. We don't treat other people as we want to be treated so they'll treat us that way. We treat other people, why? Because Christ treated us that way. Why? Because that fulfills the law and the prophets. Why? Because that means we're being salt, we're being light to a lost and dying world, and we're pointing them to Jesus Christ. And whatever happens to us, however we're treated, we're content. Because we have a sovereign God who is watching out for us. So then it becomes, well, how do you do this? That's always the difficulty, isn't it? Where the rubber meets the road. How do you actually do it? How do you accomplish this? Because our initial reaction, our human nature, points me to react to somebody and to treat them as I've been treated. Well, there's no easy answer. And the answer that I have for you, it may sound trite, it may sound simplistic, but it's a way to start. And I don't claim this on my own. I saw it in a commentary, but the idea here is make a list. Make a list of the things you like done to you, and make a list of the things you don't like done to you. However long those two lists are, make those two lists. Actually write them out. Say, I don't like it when someone calls me names. I don't like it when someone takes my stuff. I don't. Whatever the case may be, write that list down. And then write the list that you do like. I like it when my wife cooks me dinner. I like it when I eat ice cream. Whatever it might be, however silly it might be. And off of that list, pray to the Lord. And say, Lord, here's the list of the things I like and the things I don't like. Help me to treat people based off of what I like. Not off of what I don't like. Because these are the things, this is the way I like to be treated. Help me to treat other people this way. And then don't throw the list away. Keep it. And keep thinking about it. And keep striving to treat somebody that way, especially when they don't treat you well. Especially when what they've done to you falls in the list of things you don't like. Say, no, wait a second. I've got to treat them differently. I've got to treat them how I want to be treated, not how I have been treated. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of striving. It's going to take more than just what you can do. It's going to take strength from the Lord. You see, He's promised that, hasn't He? That's what Paul said in Corinthians. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can abound when I have nothing. I'm content. He's content when people are treating him bad. That's not through just, oh, you know what, it's okay, no big deal. I didn't need that arm. No, it was an effort. It was a growth in faith. It was a growth in trust. It was an understanding of God's sovereignty in his life. And God's purpose for his life was a spirit of reconciliation. If you are a Christian, that's the same ministry that you have for whoever is around you. Because each one of us touch people that the other people don't touch. You will see people I never meet. You will talk to people I never talk to. Each one of us has that situation. Each one of us should be doing that. But then, of course, the question comes, have you been reconciled to God? Have you been reconciled? Or is your sin still upon your shoulders? Has that burden been removed by Jesus Christ? Because that's where it starts. You can't treat others as you want to be treated, in the sense that Jesus Christ means, unless you understand what Jesus Christ did. Unless you trust what Jesus Christ did. Unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's all based off of that relationship. It's all based off of the fact that you are a new creation and are able to do something that you were not able to do before. And it makes a difference. So how do you fulfill 1 Corinthians 13? Because that's what it's talking about, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter of love, right? Charity is love. Well, let me read that as our conclusion. How do you do these things? How do you love in the way that 1 Corinthians 13 says it? Well, it's by treating others not as you've been treated, but as you want to be treated. It's treating others as Jesus Christ has treated you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. What's he talking about? He's talking about love. He's talking about the love that Christ loved. The way that Christ loved his people. That he gave himself for his people. And that's what he's calling his people to do. To point the way to him. To show other people Jesus Christ. And so we point you to him.